If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back again. It's the day before the Lions' first preseason football game. Oh boy, aren't we excited. And here we are, drinking the blue Kool-Aid crew. Well, not all of us are here at the moment, but right now we have with us Bob.
Hello there.
And UJ, that's me. Big Z is on his way. He'll be here shortly. He's running a little errand. I think he had to go out and get some milk for the little kid and maybe some steak. But anyway, we're going to start this thing off. We're going to kick it off and talk about camp a little bit. And I'm just going to throw out a figure there right now. And that figure is $200,000. That's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to me anyway, but not to the Lions or the Giants. It's pocket change, but the NFL made them pay $200,000 each for all their fisticuffs and, you know, stuff in the camp there. What do you think of that, Bob? I mean, what the heck?
I think it's awesome. I think that these guys are going at it so hard, and it's getting a little chippy out there. And I mean, the players, they did get fined or whatever. Whoever, I don't know who got teams or whatever got fined, but the players, they didn't seem bothered by it. They were like, you know, that's football, man. This is what happens, you know. So they, I thought it was cool. I mean, as long as nobody gets hurt. I didn't watch all the fights because there was like so many of them. But the one that was very heavily publicized was on the second day when they agreed to calm down and they went through like an hour of good practice, and then
the Kirby Joseph one.
Yeah, and Malik Nabor from the Giants got up and he like pushed, I guess Joseph was jawing at him, so he hit him in the face, and then Kirby just went wild and like swinging at him, and then both benches cleared. It was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Kirby will never win a boxing match. All those haymakers, man, he leaves himself too wide open, but it was pretty crazy though. Yeah, you're right though. It's a chippy camp, man. I think these guys are so, you know, you've hit yourselves for a couple of weeks, you know, your own team. It's nice to hit some new opponents, you know. And and I don't know. I think these guys are just jacked up for the season. So I like seeing that, but then there's a part of me that I hope they tone this stuff down by the time the season starts, because this is the kind of stuff that'll cost you games and, you know,
oh yeah,
cost you possessions and you know,
Well, I mean, Campbell, I think he said he kind of liked the aggressiveness, but he's like, but then it was kind of irritating because they had to keep setting up play. You know, they get the plays all ready to go, and then they reset the whole thing again. And they're trying to get a certain amount of reps in, and they ended up having to cut it short. So that kind of sucked. But
yeah,
Do you think? I heard somebody say that they think like last year. Remember how the Lions came out like punched the Giants in the mouth like in that first joint practice, and they just like walloped them. They were a little more ready this year, I think, the Giants.
Oh yeah,
and. Yeah, somebody's saying that the Lions, do you think the Lions are now kind of the big dog and that people are coming hunting for them?
I think there's a lot to that. Yeah, everyone knows what the Lions did last year, and they're expecting big things this year. So, yeah, I totally believe what you just said, as far as, especially the Giants coming back this year to get to another shot at them. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I'd be for a Giants. So.
I think it's cool, the joint practices, though, because I think Campbell uses them more like the preseason games. Like he like gets more out of this than he does out of those preseason games.
Yeah.
And for like, especially with the starters, you know, because he can control it more.
Well, yeah.
Well, he couldn't control this last.
No, generally it's a good point though. Cause they don't finish a lot of plays. I mean, they're not going to always bring the guy to the ground. You notice in some of those highlights, I mean, they'll put the hit on him, but they won't, you know, not like a real game situation. And you can't hit the quarterback either, which keeps your quarterback safe. So, but he gets real looks, you know, with the defense coming at him. So,
yeah,
I agree with you. That's why I don't think we're going to see too many starters in that game tomorrow.
No. But that Malik Nabers seems legit, huh? Coming, I think he's going to be a good player in the league.
He does. He looks legit.
And Giants still suck, but he'll be good.
Well, Giants have a few pieces on that defense, on that D-line anyway. And like you said, Malik Nabers, he looks good. I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I think there's still going to be a work in progress. But I think we're much more ready.
Do you like the joint practices? I remember they tried to do it with Kansas City, and Andy Reid didn't like doing those. So we did it with the Giants again.
I personally like it a lot. And I think the players do, too. I really do. I think if I was a player out there, I would be one of those guys that liked it a lot. It's tough hitting the same guys all the time, you know? I mean, I remember in my college days, you know, you practice for a few weeks before the season. It's tedious hitting the same guys all the time. You get to see some new blood and, you know, plus, like, as a Penei Sewell was saying, like, he faces Hutch every day in practice, you know, which is great. They make each other tougher. But now he sees Thibodeau and Burns and these guys, and they're totally different animals. And, you know.
Yeah. You get to see different moves, different approaches, you know, coming together. Yeah. Because
So
the same guys, you're going to probably favor a certain move that, you know, works against that guy or whatever.
Oh, exactly.
You can mix it up more.
So I guess the Giants O line did halfway decent against our D line, though. That kind of concerned me slightly. But I think someone counted out the reps that were won by the offense and the defense, and the Giants kind of came out ahead against us. But. There were some good signs, I thought. Apparently, Lee McNeil is just ready to be a monster this year. He had a great couple sessions against the Giants. And Anzarike, too, apparently looking very good.
What about Mosley? You think he'll be good this year?
Well.
Now, he tore his pec. I'm sure everybody knows that by now. But that's just unfortunate for him because he worked so hard to get back, you know, this year. I just feel bad for the guy.
Well, it's the ultimate snake bit, right? I mean, one ACL 1 year, the other one the next year, and now a torn pec. I don't know. It's just it's unfortunate, but I hope he perseveres through it, and we might see him back for the playoffs. If you remember last year, Gardner Johnson had the same injury, and he did make it back for the playoffs. So, you know, a torn pec is not like a ACL or anything like that. I think those things can heal up in a reasonable amount of time. So I'm slightly optimistic that he'll be back at the end of the season. So,
yeah, it's definitely not like just a few weeks for that kind of thing. That's pretty big muscle to deal with. But yeah, by the playoffs, which we're planning to be in, that would be nice, especially if we get the first round bye, you know, if we secure that for the NFC.
What do you mean if? Is there an if in there somewhere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We didn't get to our season predictions yet, so that's coming in a couple weeks or a month or whatever.
I think I know what mine's going to be, but no, we're not going to tip any hands here right now. It's too early, but that's our famous prediction episode. So.
Predictions, yeah. And I don't know, Z's planning on getting onto this episode eventually, but if he does make it, remember last year he was chastising you for picking the Lions to lose, but I don't think a preseason game should even be predicted, in my opinion. But I mean, I'll give you a prediction if you
well,
want. But,
I sort of agree with you. But you know my thinking on that. The year we went 0-16, we won all our preseason games. So that's why I just kind of like to see him lose one just to get that monkey off the back. And then,
yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there's a correlation, really. I mean, I think there's some teams that have a – it was like the Steelers or something are good in the preseason. Or one of those – some teams pretty good, and then they're also pretty good. But it doesn't always correlate. Like, I think the Patriots lost all their games and won the Super Bowl and – you know,
yeah, but don't we all have stupid superstitions, though? I mean, like when you're watching a game, even, like, you're sitting in one place on the couch and you can't move because, you know, something's going to go wrong. Or like, if you – some people, they leave the room and a good play happens. Now they can't come back in because they're afraid. I don't know. There's all kinds of superstitions. And I know all you fans out there have some. Believe me, we all have something. You know, you got to wear that certain jersey for the game or – certain hat.
Yeah, we should bring that topic up when we have the full crew, because I know we have some superstitious people on this pod. Yeah. One more thing about camp we should talk about. What do you think of the quarterback backup quarterback race with Hendon Hooker? You think he'll be playing the most in this game coming tomorrow?
Yes, I do. I think he's going to play. If I'm going to predict, I'm going to say he's going to play at least half the game or more. And Sudfeld will see action too. But they really are. They need to see what Hooker can do, and we get to face some live bullets. It'll be fun to watch.
I agree. I mean, I know you guys are talking about the competition at the quarterback position last week. I wasn't on the pod, but I did listen, and I agree there is a competition. But Hooker's the guy they have invested in. You know, with that high pick. You know, like it was the third round. So they definitely want to develop him. And I'm hopeful because at first I haven't followed all of his camp work, but I remember he came out kind of rusty. You know, he had some bad games and or bad reps, but he'd like hit his finger too, that I heard. So it kind of messed him up. So it wasn't totally just him being rusty.
Right.
So,
but,
I think he's going to be interesting to watch. I that's probably for watching preseason game. That's probably what I want to see the most, actually, is Hooker. I mean, just to see him throw the ball.
Yeah, he's one of the. I was thinking about that. Who do I want to see the most in this game? And he's probably number one on my list. I want to see what he can do. I mean, his ceiling is very high. Let's face it. The kid's got just an unbelievable arm. He showed that in college at Tennessee. He was just unbelievable. Plus, he's mobile, you know, which we haven't seen a mobile quarterback with the Lions in ever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. And our other top rookies, you know, they're the cornerbacks. You know, those guys, it's harder to tell with those guys, I think, coming out of camp. You know, I mean, in the preseason, like what they're going to be, especially when the rookies, because they could be. I mean, who was the guy on the Seattle was really good as a rookie. But in general, it takes a little time to get that going.
The guy we should have drafted, Merriweather, but he got picked before our pick. Is that the guy you're talking about from Illinois, that guy?
No.
Mayweather?
Oh,
was that Mayweather?
Yeah, the guy from Illinois. I mean, it still worked out for us. Witherspoon.
Devin, I don't know why I said Witherspoon. Mayweather. Yeah, Rip Witherspoon, yeah. But I think it worked out fine for us. Personally, we wouldn't have had Jahmyr Gibbs, right?
Definitely. I mean, it's just a different combination of players, but I'm very happy with the Lions roster. So.
Oh, for sure.
It was more of a miss like last year because we had like no cornerbacks that were any good, so it's like I wish we had one.
You know, when you think about last year and how we covered for that weakness and the adjustments they made through the season, like in the first half of the season we were getting torched, man. I mean, we were winning some games and stuff, but we were getting torched on defense, and then halfway through the season they just decided to turn into a blitzing defense and really helped cover our weaknesses up there and got us all the way to the Super Bowl too. I mean, NFC championship game. But imagine now if we actually have a secondary, which looks like we have one in the making here, a pretty good one.
Yeah, so, how about that?
Yeah, I know.
Right? I mean, Brad Holmes has done a great job building this team. Like that was our big weakness going into this year, and he like totally revamped the whole room with Carlton Davis and the rookies coming in, Rakestra, and I'm excited though. Arnold, I think he's going to be a star, man. That guy, he's just got that swagger.
I agree, 100%. I think he's going to be starter day one. Day one, he'll be walking out on that field. He'll be starting. It's going to be really interesting though. But I think we got enough guys out there that are going to see reps in one way or another. You know, different packages or whatever. Yeah. So we have so much talent out there.
It'll be interesting. Remember the old guard, you and I would remember this, but Dre Bly, when the Lions had him.
Yes, I did.
He was awesome, but he would get burned a lot, you know, but he'd also make spectacular plays. And then, you know, he left the Lions and he was a Pro Bowler, whatever. But I liked him when they had him.
I did too.
So we might see some of that this year. We might see like spectacular plays from these guys and then a few like where they get burned looking the wrong way, you know.
But, well, you know, it's the modern NFL. There's going to be times when they get burned. I don't care who you are or how good you are. They're going to get burned once in a while. Just so we burn them more than they burn us, right? But I think they're going to make a lot of plays too. You're talking about Dre Blythe. I remember he coached us last year, I think it was. Wasn't it last year?
That's right.
I guess he didn't last. He must not have been that good a coach. Better player than a coach, I guess. But
He didn't really have much of a coaching background. I think he did some high school stuff or something.
Something like that.
I don't know. He hadn't done a lot.
It's not always the background. It's just
it's Big Z's.
Big Z
is
about to hop on.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey.
Hey.
Bugule drinkers. We're live, right?
Yes, we are.
We are.
All right.
Yeah, we were talking about the fights in camp. We went over that. We talked about Hannon Hooker.
$200,000. Is it worth it? Was it worth it?
Yes, I thought it was. What about you?
Who won the fight? Neighbors or Kirby? Did we decide who won?
Well I think Neighbors won it because Kirby just was throwing wild punches. I don't think he was hitting anything.
Hey, Neighbors started it though. He
did start it.
He did. He did.
But yeah, it was insane how many fights there were. That Amon Ra clip was two plays into the scrimmage. So from 2 days ago. So
I know.
This happens across all NFL training camps. Yeah. It's not just this is a little more intense than normal. Because who was the backup safety? You know, I didn't get to write down the name, but he absolutely lit up this Giants guy coming over the middle on like a just a drag route. I'm trying to remember his name.
I didn't see that. I don't know. But yeah, it was a very physical practice. Yes. What do you think of the whole joint practices in general? Is he just
Great. It's a lot better. I guess these guys geared up for the season. These joint practices are better than the actual preseason games in a lot of ways.
That's what we were talking about.
So we're
talking about just like giving these guys different looks because you're facing the same guys in practice, and now you get some. It's nice to face some different guys.
Yeah, exactly. You're going against different people, different techniques. Yeah, for sure. I think it's a huge plus. I think the coaches love it. That's why they go hard during those sessions.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because another reason is because this is like the only time to play true football in practice. These NFL camps and practices now are so light. It's so hard to get your technique down because they go half speed or like just go against bags. Like, the Lions have already gotten in trouble for having too much contact during practices this summer.
That's right.
And honestly, it probably wasn't that much contact they were having. So this is, like, the true time to get your technique down, et cetera, especially for the rookies and stuff. Like, this was great for Terran Arnold to go against Malik Neighbors, who Malik Neighbors, by all accounts, kind of torched the secondary in these scrimmages, but nonetheless, it was good experience for him, Rakestra, et cetera. So big, big fan of the joint practices.
Hey, don't you think, I know Campbell wanted the fights to stop and everything because it was a little too much, but don't you think he likes to push the rules to the edge too a little bit? Like you're talking about they had too much contact in practice. I think he likes that. He likes to like get away with as much as he can.
You got a point there. But he said in one of his interviews, Bob, that you know, there's a fine line between hitting and not hitting and getting them ready for a season. Because you can't get them ready for a season without hitting. You got to hit. You know, and then
yeah,
and there's got to be a certain level of it, and I think he does push it a little bit, the envelope, like you said, but it's just yeah. to get him ready, because you can't go into a season not being used to hitting. You know, your body's conditioned differently hitting. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you can run and lift and do everything you want all day long, but if you're not hitting each other, it's just way different.
I think yeah, because remember last year, I don't know if it was on Hard Knocks or just on some social media, but they had Cambo was talking to the players about they were going to be hitting, and he's like, I know you guys don't want to do this, but it's so important, you're going to thank me later in the season for this, right. that we're doing this now,
right?
Because and then so I think they and then so they did so well, I bet the whole team's buying into that now, that they're happy to hit, you know.
Oh yeah,
sharpen the team.
Well, I've seen
the players, I'm not the union, but the players.
Yeah, well, I've seen no indication that the players are I mean, I should say I've seen every indication that the players have still bought into Campbell's, what he's doing. So I haven't seen any cracks in that at all, which is a good sign. So,
yeah, we got to ride this thing now. You know, like you see it, the 49ers have been good for several years now, but yeah. they're starting to show little cracks, you know, people need money and people, you know, these
right.
different things going on.
And this is a we'll hungry Lions eventually. Team, you guys.
Now they're just, yeah. they're not there. Yeah.
They should have been in the Super Bowl last year. They are fighting to get back to the NFC Championship and redeem themselves. So they are starving for victories.
Yes.
And they are ready to go. I think they kind of like the publicity this has gotten, because it's kind of signaling the rest of the league what they're going to be about this year. So I don't mind it. I'm sure. You know, who pays the 200? I'm sure, like, the organization pays that fine, right?
I'm sure.
200 grand, you know, they raise the tickets on, they raise ticket prices on you, what, 300% or something, Bob? So they can pay yeah. 200 grand in fines for some fights.
Oh, yeah, they've got money now, yeah. They're gouging us.
Package.
Yeah, so, yeah, it'll be fun on Thursday, tomorrow night. We're recording this on Wednesday night. This will be released, like, probably right before the preseason game tomorrow night. But it'll be fun to watch what goes on there. Hopefully, no punches thrown in the preseason game, at least. They already got him out of the way right now.
Yeah.
Did you guys bring up Emmanuel Mosley yet?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay.
We did.
Yeah, heartbreaker. Heartbreaker.
It is. True.
But
it is.
Yeah. He's made a glass. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I know. I didn't want to say that earlier. I mean, we were passing around some texts earlier. You know, Bob's. Your Samuel Jackson glass, you know.
It's not like a little injury either. It's a hamstring injury. Yeah. He's out a couple weeks or like yeah. a broken finger. It's like these yeah. injuries that keep him out for lengthy periods of time.
But Emmanuel, if you're listening, we love you, man. It was just
a
joke.
We do.
We want. Is it? Yeah. Have you seen if it is he out of the? How long is it that injury? It's
well, they said he could possibly be back for the playoffs.
Yeah,
if you remember Gardner Johnson last year, though, he had the same injury. Again, I don't know the degree. You know, maybe it was worse or whatever. But
he get that in the first game too? Right?
Yeah, I think
so. Emmanuel Mosley hasn't played in 2 years. That's different. This is somebody that hasn't played in like 3 years. Essentially, that's another offseason that even before that. So
true.
I don't think that's the same situation here. I highly doubt he is playing this year.
I'm just saying, as far as healing time, he might get there faster than Gardner Johnson, because he got it his during the season. So it's like a few weeks.
See, I personally hope they don't cut him and they give him one more shot. I mean, by all accounts, this guy has worked his ass off, and the players respect him, what he's doing, everything. I mean, yeah, we can put him in injured reserve or whatever, not use him this year, but I'd like to see him get one more shot going into next year and see if he can do it. I really do.
I mean,
I'm with you, UJ, because you hear Campbell talk about him. It's like they think he's an important part of the team, even though he hasn't played that much.
Right.
They like really think he adds a lot to the team, so I don't know.
I think that's the only reason they kept him this long. I mean, another average guy they probably would have cut last year, you know. I don't know. You're right. I think they have a certain respect for him, that he's a big part of this team. So anyway, that's my wish. I hope he gets one more shot next year to stay with this team and see what he can do. It'd be a great success story.
Oh, one other thing about camp that I'm curious what you guys think about is the kicking situation. Because we know Bates has the leg, but he's not very accurate lately. I mean, he was accurate at the start of camp, and then he's missing.
Well, it's all Zach's, Big Z's fault because he wished bad things on Badgley, so, you know, this guy would...
What? I never wished bad things on Badgley ever. That's ridiculous. This is a ridiculous notion, dude.
Well, you wanted this guy
I was
guy
glad
to
they
get...
brought...
Well, okay, I exaggerate a little bit. But you wanted this, you wanted this guy to get the job really bad. You've been talking him up. You know, like the second coming.
The problem is he's kicking too close to the field goals. They need to back him up over 60 yards.
Well,
keep two kickers
just...
on the team, one for under 50 and one for over 50.
Oh, there you
go. It sucks now, though, that we cut Turner or whatever from Michigan because
– I read he struggled,
we don't,
too.
We don't have as much competition in camp, though, you know, because all you got is who do they got? The Bates and then anyone else right now that's kicking?
No, I don't think they signed anybody else to kick.
Yeah, which
Riley
would be nice
Patterson's
to have competition.
Always available. He's still a free agent. So.
He is.
Well, he's actually reliable. I mean,
under
he
50,
won't get the
yes.
distance, but yeah. But
well, there you go. Keep the two kickers then. Instead of one less lineman or something.
So, oh yeah, Kid Jay just put in our chat that Bates at joint practices, according to Colton Pouncey, is 6 of 9 overall. He made from 34, 37, 41, 44, 50, 53, and he missed from 46, 50, and 50. So
okay.
So,
yeah,
like
just,
a little higher percentage there.
Hey, there's plenty of time before the season. He can work on it, get his mind right. He'll be all right.
This is probably his first time getting like real coaching, don't you think? Like, he's on like an NFL team all of a sudden.
I'm sure. Yeah, I mean,
he didn't really kick in college.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True that.
Kind of crazy. So,
yeah. Say be patient with him. Let the coaches do their thing. He'll be all right.
Well, there's another big aspect to kicking, too. It's not just the field goals. Now, with the new rules, and I'm curious if you guys watched the Hall of Fame game where you first saw the first iteration of these rules, but the kickoffs. The kicker's important because they got to kick it within that target zone. If they fail to do that accurately, the teams, like, if the kicker kicks it in the end zone, the offense gets the ball at the 30-yard line now on a touchback. So,
yeah,
that's brutal. But a lot of the receptions that did not go in the end zone, the teams, like, started at the 23, 22. So 10 yards is a pretty significant chunk of change, so you just had to be able to kick it in there. It's probably harder than it seems because you don't want to boot it a mile. It's kind of like a golf shot, basically.
I think it's time to bring back the straight ahead kicker, you know, guy kicks with his toe, you know, bring
you,
the square toe shoes. You know, he won't kick it as far, he'll kick it a little more accurately, chop it right in there, right in the box.
Perfect. They could drop kick it, right? Or do they don't allow punts on the kickoff, do they?
No,
I don't think
kick
so.
It off
not on the kickoff.
Because I'd say Fox could be great at that, just putting it right in the perfect spot. Yeah,
that's a good question, though. I don't know that for certain because there's no one around him. The thing I don't like about the rule, though, is I don't like that you can't do the surprise onside kick anymore. I always like that aspect. Like, you never know. Like, for instance, like when the Lions in the first year, Dan Campbell playing the Rams, did a surprise onside kick after they scored a touchdown, got the ball.
Yeah, or the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Saints in the Super Bowl, yeah.
Start the second half.
I know.
I have to tell people you're doing it.
Yeah.
I know. You always got to tell the other team what you're doing. Every time a team gets smart and figures some trickery and can fool the other team, they make some rule that doesn't happen again. It really pisses me off. Like, you got to report eligible all the time. You know, like, well, you're telling, you know, it didn't help us, but against Dallas, but I mean, every time a good trick thing happens, they try to make some law that it doesn't happen again. I don't get that. That should be part of
it. Tell them
one of the game, you know, the trickery.
Yeah. What do you think? You know, Harbaugh was trying to like tell, you know, what was happening on the other team with his counter stallions. You know, I think that's what we need. Did you see? I don't know if you guys followed this, but. Michigan stuff, but Harbaugh said the other day, he's like, I am innocent. I did nothing wrong. I do not apologize. I thought it was pretty funny. He's like so defiant, but there's nothing they can do to him. He's in the NFL.
Right, because the next day they came out and said he's, or today, like banned or shadow banned. I don't know.
Shadow banned for 4 years. Yeah. So if a college team hires him during that time, he has to take a 1 year suspension.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I see. Okay.
After the 4 years, they can just hire him.
These college coaches that just they leave before the scandal hits them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you someone that continues to play really, really good, though, is J-Mo.
He's
showing out at these practices.
Yes.
It's really fun to see like everything that we've heard from and seen from in the highlights of camp coming to fruition against another team like the Giants, who have a decent defense. Nothing to scoff at. I guess Brian Burns is playing pretty good out there for the Giants, too. Yeah. So I'm not sure. You know, any
who's that big D tackle they got? Apparently he's been just kicking ass in camp to the Giants.
For the Giants?
Yeah. He apparently a manhandled rag now on one play. Can't think of his name, though. But, yeah, they got some decent guys in that D-line.
Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, they give him big contract, right?
Yeah. But, yeah.
I'm looking him up.
Hey, guys, what about the next Dexter. Tom Kennedy we got in this team, that Caden Davis?
Is he the next TK?
Receiver. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen this guy, but in camp, he's been catching everything, and he's getting open all the time. And he's like he's been around for, I don't know what he's, I think he's like 25, but he's been with a couple teams. But he seems to be clicking with this coaching staff, so he might be a dark horse to make the team.
What's funny how this coaching staff can get good things out of players. Like this Maurice Fountain apparently has really found himself now too, making a name for himself. Probably going to make the roster the way I see it right now.
Yeah.
So
maybe, a lot of the insider folks are saying that they don't think Peoples-Jones is going to make the roster.
Right. I mean, that surprises me, but hey, that's what it's looking like right now.
But it might be another move Brad Holmes wins on, because people were saying that, oh, the Lions needed to add a receiver, and they're not. You know, like they're going with these guys that they have. And free agents.
Hey, Brandon Ayuk is on the trade market.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
They had to give him a big contract, though. I don't think they're willing to do that.
No.
At the same time, too, while Fountain has been decent, like in camp at the very least, it seems like from the comments from the coaching staff, including Campbell, like they're not overly thrilled with any of the third wide receivers at the same time. I think they're expecting a lot more out of Green and Peoples-Jones than they've necessarily. Then they haven't gotten. Yeah.
Do you think he'd hype up any of those guys right now? Because he's trying to get those guys to compete.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe. I feel like he's pretty honest, though. Like, he would give a ringing endorsement if he was more confident.
No, because he doesn't. No. Campbell doesn't hesitate to call guys out either.
They're praising Levi.
Yeah.
That's different. Third wide receiver.
That's different. I'm talking about a third wide receiver spot where everybody's competing for the position. These are edge of the roster guys. I mean, like, or could be, you know.
Okay. I mean, Levi was on the bubble coming into the training camp, a lot of people thought, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
With good reason, though. I mean, but, yeah, he's proven he's got it, so let's see what happens. I think he's going to see some playing time tomorrow, personally. Just to see what he can do against some live competition. I don't know how many plays, but I think he'll be in there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Who's that other guy, Canadian guy? We'll probably
Betts,
see him, right?
Matthew Betts. I think we'll see a lot of him.
Probably won't see him playing much for the Lions this year, but we'll see him preseason.
I don't know. You know, they're not really talking him up too much. And they say he's playing too slow and they're putting too much on his plate. He can't handle it, so they're trying to trim it back.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
He probably won't contribute this year, but it'd be just interesting to see him on the field, just to see what he looks like.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that.
He's supposed to be a physical freak, you know. So.
Yeah, I think as far as the kicker, though, I think they're going to give Jake Bates the full preseason here, see how he handles it, see if like there's improvement over a couple of weeks. If not, they probably cut him and find another veteran kicker on the market.
That's what they did last year. We had like kicker competition and cut everybody right before the season.
Like they're all just sitting in some room waiting, like you know, like in a caddies at the golf course, right? Who's next up, you know? Come on. Like there's a room full of kickers that we're just going to grab the next guy. Like where are these guys at? Just grab a kicker. Yeah. I mean,
Well, maybe they revisit Riley Patterson later on if Jake Bates is like 60% on his field goals in the preseason.
See, Z, you should have kicked in college, man. You could have been in the pros right now. They need kickers.
I kicked in high school. I was the toe basher. So
we need one of those guys back, you know. Another Tom Dempsey, you know, a guy who can kick with the front of his foot like an American. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they had those block spikes. It was like a rectangle at the end of their shoe.
Yeah, the little square-toed shoes, man. Those were awesome. I know.
Hey, Z, did you play against who is that St. Rita punter that went to the Lions?
Ryan Donahue.
Ryan Donahue. Remember, he was such a freak in high school because Jack.
No, he was older than
UJ,
me.
UJ's kid played against him in the same Catholic League in Chicago.
Right.
I got to see him at that one game I went to. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw him attempt a 70-yard field goal. He missed it just left. But I did.
Yeah, he was kind of like a phenom. Everyone, when he was like coming out there, everybody's like,
oh, in high school,
him.
He was a phenom in high school.
He's a great punter at Iowa, too. He just had injuries, right? In the NFL?
Yeah. Injuries hurt him.
Never came back.
Yeah.
But it was decent.
It was pretty bizarre. It must have been a really effective injury because he was really, really good.
He might have had that south side Robert illness, though, where he drank too much. But I don't know.
Very possible.
Who knows? It's
possible. Yeah, definitely possible.
I don't know. Just saying, speculators.
Yeah. Nonetheless, I think you might see a guy like a C.J. Moore probably make this roster, too, just based on the special teams alone. It's going to be really important. Basically, you need a like linebacker types almost for the kickoff now.
Right.
Because it's basically like the players have described it. It's like a run play out there. you're getting the ball. Nobody can move until the ball is touched. I don't know if you saw, like, they were reviewing the other day at the Hall of Fame game, like, somebody possibly leaving early, so they had to sync up the ball touching the receiver's hands and the people on the line, and they threw a flag because somebody left just like a split second too early. It's kind of like baseball, like where at the play at first base where they had to sync up the time, like from two different angles. I hope we don't see that too much because that's just going to slow down the game a lot.
Yeah, that would suck. What is that, a 5-yard penalty? Or?
I believe a 5-yard penalty, yes.
I believe penalties.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we need.
Right.
A guy who's not trying to make the team, but just fun to talk about. I hear Hutch is just tearing it up this year. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
Stronger than ever.
Yep.
Faster than ever.
Let's just pray that we give him the help on the other edge so that we can free him up more and get to that 20 sack level. It's just impossible to get 20 sacks when you're triple teamed every
week. Yeah. Well, on a positive note, though, Davenport apparently has been playing fairly well in camp.
Yeah.
So if he stays healthy, I mean, I've seen the tape on him when he's healthy, and he can be a beast, man. So let's see what happens. Yeah. I hope he can.
You were telling me that, UJM, because I always thought that he was just kind of mediocre.
That's the impression. I think it's because he's hurt a lot. But go look up his videos and watch him when he's healthy. He's unbelievable. He's really good. Yeah. He was a first-round draft pick for a reason. So, you know. I like the way Brad takes, you know, they take a shot on some of these guys, you know, that they were obviously highly thought of at one time or another, and who knows why they fell from grace, you know, for whatever reason, injuries or attitude or something. But, you know, given the right situation, and I think the Lions are a right situation for a lot of players, the way the culture is built now and what they're doing, I think a lot of players see this as a place to come and maybe revive a career or, you know, a place to excel, you know, where they can be themselves and excel where they might not in another place. So, yeah, I mean, the Lions got a lot going for them right now as far as that goes, as far as attracting those kind of players to this team. So
I like that, UJ. I like that better than, you know, some of these teams will get guys because they're having troubles off the field, you know, like, oh, he punched his wife, but hell, we'll get them cheap, you know.
Right.
The Lions don't pick those guys up, which they're helping guys.
Yes.
You know, at the end of their career, or whatever, or mid career, that need a change, but they're not picking up like bad guys. It's like It's all like
right.
So, anyway,
and these prove it contracts. I think there's a really important place for those things on a team like this. know, you're going to pay your core guys, which we're starting to do now, you know, but eventually, you know, you can't pay everybody. And yeah. It's hard finding quality players on a loaded team. Like you said, Bob, Frisco right now, they're having trouble keeping guys signed, you know, cause they got so many big contracts. Well, we're going to have that problem eventually in the next couple of years. So, I don't know. These 1 year prove it deals can be very important.
Yeah. It seems like Holmes has that one, that core that he's going to pay, you know, like there's a core of guys.
Yeah.
And then the other guys are going to be those 1 year contract guys. And,
well, my question is how big is a core? Okay. Like, okay, we're paying Amon Ra now, we're paying Goff, we're paying Sewell. We're paying, who else are we paying?
Decker.
Decker, Ragnow. You're going to, in a couple years, Hutch will be wanting a contract. Aleem McNeil's in the contract. Campbell, if he keeps progressing, I think he'll be a big contract guy. Jack Campbell. I mean,
yeah.
And look at our secondary now. I mean, in 3 years, is Arnold going to be an all pro cornerback? Rakestraw, how many guys can you pay?
Well, some of that's going to come off, like, because Taylor Decker has 3 more years. He'll probably be done after that.
I would guess so.
But I think he's got 3 good years in him at least.
Oh, I do. So, I agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, he might have more than that, you know, but I just think he is definitely those 3 years. He'll be awesome.
Yeah.
All time.
Yeah. But it's a great problem to have. guys that are too good that you have to pay. And at the very least, if they have 1 year left on the contract, you trade them, get draft value, and run it back again, basically. I mean, you can't keep everybody. It's just impossible. That's the whole point of the salary cap.
But now we're paying guys who deserve it and not like
trying to
pay up like guys like Trey Flowers or something just because we need a big name somewhere. You know, like we're signing overpaying guys just to have someone out there. But we're paying guys who've earned it. And, you know,
homegrown guys. We're paying homegrown guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great problem to have. I hope we have that problem, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Because
that means things are going well in the development of all those players and their health.
Hey, can I say one quick, I don't know how long we have left, but one quick non-Lions thing. Did you guys watch Hard Knocks, the first episode?
With not
the
yet. Bears?
I didn't. I only saw the clip of that undrafted guy singing.
Dropping his drawers.
American Eagle underwear.
I've watched like half of the episode. It's pretty good, but it's like Eberflus, he seems like a nice guy and all, but just after the energy of Campbell last year, it's just kind of a little downgrade as far as the coaching on the show. But.
Listen, no one's ever going to match Campbell and Hard Knocks. No one.
Impossible.
It's not going to happen.
Did anybody match Hutch's energy on with Billie Jean too?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see the whole show. They might show more of that, but
I'm definitely gonna watch it though. It's
interesting. But, you know,
yeah, well, it's the Bears too. It's their inner division, you know, and
Caleb
I do
want
to see what they're up to. So
yeah.
So did he have a part about Caleb Williams doing his nails or anything like that?
No, but he was in a coach's meeting and he had a purse with him. I saw that clip going around today. Like, it wasn't like prominently in there, but if you look close enough, he like picks up a purse off the ground after meeting with his coach in an office.
You sure that's not a man bag? Not a purse.
It's a satchel. Was from the
Hangover.
Hangover.
Yeah.
A satchel. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We'll see what happens with Caleb Williams. I think he's talented and. He's definitely confident though. Like you're talking about, he's doing this nail stuff. He doesn't care. He's like rich. He's young. He's talented. He just does whatever the hell he wants. But it could backfire if he sucks.
If he sucks, it'll backfire.
That'd be glorious. Another Bears quarterback going down with the Lambs.
And one thing's for sure, Chicago can chew up quarterbacks like nobody else.
I know. What was it before last season? There were Chicago fans talking about MVP for Fields last year.
Right.
Yeah, nice. Right. Oh my God.
Although then he gets cut. You know,
it'd be really fun to see him like succeed on the Steelers, and completely just rub it in the Bears.
Yeah.
That would be
Although cool. I don't want him playing against the Lions because for some reason he does well against the Lions.
Fields? Yeah, right. Mobile yeah. quarterbacks against the Lions.
You know what? I guess if he's with the Steelers, that's fine.
Warren Sharp tweeted out one interesting thing here before we wrap up. I just thought, you know, we talk about the Lions defense and their strategy and their blitzing. Well, actually, last year, the Lions ranked number 31 versus the pass in total, so pretty bad. But when they didn't blitz, they're number 9 in EPA and number 7 in completion percentage against. And they still had the number 5 pressure rate when not blitzing. So,
really?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting stats. That's maybe it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
That's mind-blowing to me.
So it, with an improved defense, maybe they dialed it back to start the year again. Because they did start the year last year dialing it back, and then they picked it up immensely in the last half of the season. They were like one of the last in blitz rates to like number one in blitz rates.
But how fun was that when they started doing that, though?
It was fun.
Like, our defense was fun when they started blitzing.
It worked. Like that was the Kansas City was the first game.
Right.
What they were doing was working then, but then they other teams figured it out. but then they had to go blitzing. But
you know, hey, again, the Lions show the ability to adjust and, you know, compensate. Like Campbell over the this is his fourth year now, right? If I'm not mistaken, Campbell as the head coach. He's showing the willingness to, when he sees things aren't going right, he's willing to change. He's willing to demote a coach. He's willing to change their what they do on the field.
Yeah.
No, he's not afraid of anything.
And
I might be overstating this a little bit, but I think he's one of the most brilliant football minds out in NFL coaching right now. I mean, because you know knowledge of the game, but his feel for the game, his gut instincts are, I think, unparalleled in the game. Like a lot of coaches just don't possess that what he has. So,
except for running on the goal line in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's controversial.
But
a lot of people loved it.
No one's perfect.
But you know who's the guy? You know how Ben Johnson became a star kind of while he was on the Lions staff?
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden everyone knows him around the league. This could be Aaron Glenn's chance this year. Now that he has some new tools to use, he might be able to actually run his defense the way he wants to because he's going to have defensive backs, linebackers, and the line improved. So
that's a good point, Bob.
He has a chance to like really put his name out there this year.
Let's hope. If Connor was on here, I'd ask. I'd love to know his opinion, but if he's a believer or not this year.
Well, he did soften last year. He did. What's
that? He did soften.
He did. I know. I just love to give the shit about it. So
I know.
But I think that's gonna wrap it up for us here. On August 7th here of this recording. So Lions will be heading, when this is released, it will be the day of the first preseason game for the Lions. Oh, wait, really quick. We need to do our predictions for week one of the preseason.
Oh.
Bob, what's your prediction for the Lions against the New York Giants?
The Giants. I think the Lions will win 13-0.
All right,
in a really boring game.
UJ.
Okay, I agree with the really boring game part. I think the Lions are going to lose 21-17.
This is the time of year where UJ predicts the Lions to lose.
They got to lose one preseason game. I'm sorry, it's my superstition right now. They got to lose one. At least one. They can win the other rest of them. I don't care. They just got to lose one.
Dan Campbell's going to go, we're going to go out there and lose tonight, gentlemen, but keep it close. Make it feel like you won. Producer KJ, prediction.
I think the Lions are going to win 22-7.
Boom. Okay. Ooh, I like it.
22 wow. this. That's an interesting
22.
Score.
I'm going to go 27. 22-7. That's a score.
Lions 22, Giants 7 is producer. Right. Kid J's prediction.
Kid J's is a little sad because Jonah Jackson got hurt. And
so did Pico.
His Rams are going to suffer a lot this year.
And so did that Pikachu guy, that receiver guy. Pikachu, is that his name?
Oh, did he? Puka Nakua.
Puka, yeah, he's hurt too.
Pikachu got hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
one more to talk about that in a few weeks before the week one of the season. My prediction. Well, can I do Red Dogs? Lions are going to win 70-0.
That's pretty good.
That was good. That was good.
I didn't throw all the middle the stuff in the middle, like someone's going to score 7 touchdowns on the team or something like that. Like Tom Kennedy's going to score 7 touchdowns.
Yeah. And it won't even add up to the same score. Everyone's scoring the touchdown.
Details, details.
My prediction is the Lions win 17-14, and it's going to be on a walk-off field goal from Jake Bates of 57
Ooh.
Yards.
Ooh. 57 yards. I like it.
Sounds right. It sounds right. So there you have it. Those are our predictions for week one of the preseason.
All right.
And now we can wrap up the episode. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Follow us on YouTube at DTBK_Lions, or just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Subscribe to the channel on there. We'll have a lot more going on there coming up, and some live streams, etc. So if you subscribe, you get pinged, you know, and hop on and join the fun. Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the Lions training camp. What do you think of the fights? Who won the fights, etc.? Your predictions for the preseason game, reactions to the preseason game. Otherwise, thank you to our producer, Kid J crushes it every single week.
Oh, yeah. He's the best.
He is the best. So thank you also to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast as well. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great day tomorrow. Enjoy watching the first action from the Lions in the preseason game. And we'll be back next week reacting to that and everything going on in training camp. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Forward down the field. A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.